Chapter 41. The seasons turned and autumn arrived in due course. Though Saxtus and his friend Simeon kept up their vigil on the ramparts of Redwall, there was still no sign of the returning travellers. The abbey orchard was now in burgeoning fruitfulness, and each day the crop gatherers were busy with ladders, long poles, and industrious energy as they picked and basketed the plums, apples, damsons, pears, and berries of many different varieties. The kitchens were working at full capacity, cooking, preserving, and storing the fruits. Gabriel Quill's cellar was also a hive of activity. Cordials, wines, squashes, and October ale were being squeezed, brewed, and fermented. The days of autumn continued, fine and warm, though darkness started to draw in earlier. Peace and plenty had returned to the abbey. Every creature was happy. Well, nearly every creature. The three little Dibbons, Bag, Run and Grub, were totally dissatisfied with their lot and feeling highly mutinous. Two, three, sometimes even four scrubbings a day were commonplace for them during harvest time. They had been caught in different colour changes by Mother Mellis and the good sisters who cared for them. Purple from blackberries, crimson from red currants, yellow from greengages, green from gooseberries, and generally filthy from climbing trees, falling into bushes, being covered in dust from the cellars, or appearing coated in oven grime and ashes from the kitchen ovens. Besides being sent to bed early for cheeking some venerable abbey dwellers, the three miscreants were now being instructed in sewing by Brother Hubert, so that they could repair their own ripped clothing. Hubert had also hinted darkly that they would soon be attending Gatehouse School and Abbey History Study. This news was the final clincher, being met with awful scowls and rebellious mutterings, and culminating in the terrible trio swearing a deathly oath underneath a dormitory bed, where they were hiding from their latest misdeeds. They were leaving the abbey the very next morning to seek their fortunes far afield, or as Grubb succinctly put it,
some place where girt beasties don't keep scrubbing and bathing us.
Dawn came soft and misty, with warm sunlight turning the low-lying shrouds of mist from white to pale yellow. The three Dibbons let themselves out by the north wall gate and trundled up the path, rustling the carpet of brown leaves brought down by autumnal night winds. Each of them had a kerchief bulging with food swinging from a stick across his shoulder, and their mood was decidedly carefree as they strode out with a will.
Wait till old Marmel's finds us and are gone. I bet she shakes her head and says, oh, dearie me, a lot then, eh?
She won't have no bees to chuck in a tub and scrub no more.
I expect she'll scrub Gabble and Fryer in the habit serving right.
And we'll be far, far away and all mucky forever.
And we won't go to bed no more and learn history of Brother Hooper.
Burr aye, and won't they all be a-crying for us? Boo-hoo, he'll say. Where be all they lovely Dibbons a-gone?
Ah, will they? Aww. Never mind. We'll come back when us'ns are big'uns, eh?
Oh aye, and we'll spank them and we'll embath them and scuff everything.
That'll teach them a lesson.
Late breakfast turned into early lunch as they sat at the side of the path, telling each other what tyrants they would be when they returned to the abbey fully grown. Suddenly, Run squeaked with fright. The three Dibbons sat petrified at the sight of a giant armoured badger who had strolled up out of the mists. With a strange light in his dark eyes, he swung his massive sword high and placed it into the carrier straps on his back. The badger knelt down, bringing his wide striped head close to their terrified faces. His voice was growling deep, but gentle as he could make it.
Well, well, what have we here? Three marauders lying in wait for poor honest travellers?
Us'ns be only Dibbons, sir.
Dibbons, eh? A likely story. You look more like bloodthirsty rogues to me. All right, then. Supposing you are Dibbons, where are you from?
Bag found his tongue.
Please, sir. Red Wall Happy, sir.
Rawnblade lifted them carefully in his hefty, battle-scarred paws.
Redwall Abbey? I think I may know that place. You'd better come with me. I'll soon find out if you're telling me the truth.
The badger made his way through the hordes of Trag warriors eating breakfast at the side of the path. He halted by a wide, flat wooden cart with a great bell upon it. The three Dibbons sat gazing at their reflections in the burnished metal surface of the bell as they perched upon Rawnblade's paws, their legs swinging over the big blunt claws. Lord Rawnblade lowered them toward Dandan and Durry, winking at the two friends as he did.
I've just captured these three sea rat captains. They were waiting down the way apiece, probably to ambush us and steal our bell.
Dandan and Durry played along with the badger.
It is well you did. They look like born killers to me.
Aye, these sea rats are all the same, you know.
Grub tried reasoning with his captors.
Oh, go away. I'm a molar, and they be two hotter folk. You'll be Dannin and Maester Quill, I knows, eh?
Rawnblade burst out laughing.
Ho, 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 ho. Well said. We'll take you back to Redwall with us.
Bag held a paw to his snout, confidentially whispering to Rawnblade.
I wouldn't if I was you. Marmels will chuck you all in a tub and scrub you something awful.